okay, be excited. I don't want to dampen your parade. I don't want to make your parade moist.
There's so many better ways that could have been said.
Oh, I suppose you want me to say the traditional saying, I don't want to rain on your parade.
I mean, I could hope for more, but I could also hope for exactly that.
I don't want to make your slow, boring walk where they throw candy out moist. How about that? I think that sums it up.
That's the worst description of a parade ever.
Slow, boring walk where they throw candy out? That's exactly what it is.
What? No, it's not. There's floats in parades. There's slow, people marching. There's bands. Boring. There's dancers. There's horses.
That poop.
You're really...
I'm anti-parade right now. I don't know why.
I'm really sorry that you grew out of the magic of parades, Maria.
There comes a time when
a middle-aged adult
no longer can hear the tinkling of that silver bell. That's not a euphemism. What's the word I'm looking for? Callback to a children's book, Polar Express.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, hey you guys, despite what the first 3 minutes of this podcast may have made you think, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
We're called Magic the Amateuring. My name's Maria. I'm one of your hosts.
My name's Megan. I'm your other host. And it's called Amateuring because we like to talk about things that can be applied to people just learning the game or older players returning to the game or anyone who just, you know, wants to have a good old time with a pair of headphones on.
You don't need to listen to us in headphones, Megan.
You're right, but I'm saying, like, if you wanted to have a good old time with a pair of headphones on, this is one way to do it.
That's true.
Okay.
If you also want to listen to us full blast in your house while you scoot across the floor in your undies,
you are welcome to do that.
Please.
In fact, I encourage you.
We will not stop you. We have a super special episode for everybody today, Megan.
We do?
Yes, we're going to have an interview with someone super famous and awesome.
I think we have almost this exact exchange at the beginning of that interview.
Yes.
Where you're like, hey, something surprising. And I'm like, what? And you explained it. And I was about to ask just to be like, no way. And I was like, that would be too deja vu.
Well, you're going to hear a little bit about deja vu with our interview with Kenji, Numi, coming up. And we're also going to talk about Fate Reforged, some updates for you.
Yeah.
In draft and in standard. So that's a lot on our plate this week, Megan.
It certainly is. As Maria mentioned, our For the Noobs is going to be talking about Twitch streaming.
Streaming, yep.
Yeah, with none other than Numa the Nummy.
So, yeah, get ready for that, you guys. I don't know if anything can prepare you for the awesomeness that is about to follow. Hey, Megan, we've got a super cool guest on the show today.
What? You never tell me anything.
Yes, we super do, Megan. It's a surprise. It's a surprise for you.
Maria, I don't believe you until I see it.
Well, on this week's For the Noobs, I thought we'd talk about streaming.
Oh, man, that sounds like a really incredible idea. Like a really smart person had that idea.
Okay, Megan, fine. It was your idea. We all get it.
Oh, okay.
And we thought, why not talk to the premier Magic streamer, Kenji, a.k.a. Numa the Nummy. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Kenji, okay, first question. Streaming, what's the deal? Okay, that's a horrible question. I want to know the background of how you even got started streaming and playing Magic.
Okay, well, let's go back way back, like 15 years if we're going to when I started playing Magic.
All right, hold on. We're gonna pull out our time machine.
Okay.
All right, we're in it. And we're going.
Wait,
we're
but gone. I just hit this okay. button. What does this do?
Oh, that makes bacon.
Oh, okay. Well, I have bacon, and now we are 15 years ago. Great. Perfect.
Perfect, you guys. Awesome. Perfect.
Awesome.
My cousin actually introduced me to the game. He played pretty hardcore. He's a few years older than me, and, you know, I'd just look at the pictures and whatnot and be like, oh, man, that's kind of cool or something like that. And then eventually, a few years later, I picked up the game and I started going religiously to FNMs every week that I could. And, you know, it's just grown and grown since that point on, 15 years ago when I was a wee boy of 10.
They weren't. Were they? Wow. Were you drafting that FNM back then?
Yeah, I think it was. Oh, wait, maybe it wasn't draft that long ago. I think we started drafting and doing sealeds during, like, must have been Invasion. No, not Invasion. It was... No, it was Invasion Block.
Oh, cool.
Or Saga. Oh, man, maybe it was even Saga. How old am I? How old is Magic? It's so old.
Megan, we've stumped him on the first question. No.
Once you get in a time machine, you don't know any temporal facts anymore.
My mind is blown right now.
Megan, yeah, what's your favorite temporal fact?
My favorite temporal fact is 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Very good. Great fact.
Great fact.
And it's easy to remember because it rhymes.
Yeah, I don't remember anything unless it rhymes.
That's why, you know, Numa the Nummy ain't no dummy. That's how I know I'm smart.
I was actually going to ask you how you got your name.
Oh, okay. Well, let me finish my other story.
Finish your story.
Getting into streaming, right? That's where we went with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Twitch was an infant. You know, it had just started 3 or 4 years ago, and I had been watching some streams, and not necessarily Magic, but then I stumbled onto Magic, and I was like, hey, I really like this game. I've been playing it for so long. I'm going to watch some people stream. And they were okay. They did their thing. You know, I really enjoyed it, and I was like, maybe I could do this. So, you know, I installed whatever the software was necessary, started streaming. It wasn't very frequent. It was maybe like once a week or something like that.
And how long ago was this?
2.5 years ago, maybe three. So not too long, but Twitch was just starting as a platform at that point. So, you know, there wasn't really anybody doing it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it. So steadily I got increase in viewers. You know, it'd start like 10 concurrent viewers watching, and I'd be like, yeah, 10 people are watching me. I'm chatting to them, and they're doing things. And then it was like 50 people anytime I signed on. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of people, and we're going to talk and have a good time and all that nonsense. And then let's see what happened after that. I started doing it, I challenged myself to stream every day for a year.
And Why?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I make terrible choices. I have no idea. There wasn't one set reason, I think. It was because I had recently graduated from college. You know, I was living out on my own now, not in my parents. And so with all this newfound freedom, I think I wanted to just try something new.
Yeah, like you, like many people nowadays, were temporarily possessed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I still am. You know, I had an exorcism not too long ago, but it didn't really work.
It doesn't hold very long when you're concerned.
It really doesn't. And it doesn't help that there's really, it's just a bunch of shoddy exorcists really these days.
I mean, you can't really vet them, can you?
No, it's kind of like an online, like $5. You get a certificate online to marry your friends. Same thing with exorcisms now. Jeez.
Yeah, we gave him like $5, my parents gave him like $5. They're like, do your thing. He did, and it worked for a little while.
Megan's just ribbing me because I went online and got certified to marry people. In literally 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You can do anything online these days. So
now I just have to become a ship's captain.
I'm about to download a car.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Awesome.
And that will be the trifecta.
I was just like wondering, because you started the streaming every day for a year, I was curious if you had any motive. Like, you're like, oh, I'll probably grow my viewership by doing this. But it was really just more of like a personal thing that you wanted to do. Like, you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, I certainly enjoyed the interaction too. And so getting more people really, really increased that. You know, everybody wants to give their input. Oh man, you made a terrible, even if they're trolling you. Oh man, you made a terrible play. You're so bad. I'm like, oh, you're right. I am pretty bad. But you know what? This is great.
I love the ratio of like of people who will congratulate you when you've played well to people who will tell you that you are playing terribly. Because it's like 0 to 100. It's like 0 people will tell you that you are playing well, and 100 people will always tell you if they think you are playing poorly.
That's what I always tell people, though. The stream is number 1 about entertainment. Number 2, if you learn something, excellent.
What's number 3?
YOLO.
Yep. So now will you tell us the dark secret behind your name, Numa the Nummy?
You know, there is no dark secret. It's not even that exciting. back in high school, my buddies and I started playing EDH or whatever, Commander, Dragon Highlander, whatever you kids call it these days, right?
I call it 100 card fun time.
100 card fun time with a general. You got it. Anyways, my very first general was Numot the Devastator. And man, I love that deck. And then I eventually built like an Orzhov deck. Anyways, that was about the same time that I made an MTGO account for the very first time. And I was like, you know what? I want to make it something to do with Numot. And then I'm like, yeah, alliteration is sweet. Numot the Nummy. All right, Nummy. That's cool, right? Yeah.
Are you sure it's not because you taste like strawberries?
It's oranges and peaches.
Oh, okay. We were close.
Very close. Yeah. Very close.
So it turns out that alliteration is the dark secret behind his name, as it is the dark secret behind so many things.
I'm sorry. It's not very exciting.
I love it, though, because my name on Magic Online is horny_unicorny, and I chose it primarily to try and pick the absolute worst name that I could.
So, I don't know if you succeeded or not.
I don't know either. I will definitely shock some of my opponents. But it's especially fun when I go into the help chat room and the mods have to respond by saying, hey, horny, here's the solution to your problem.
And you're just like, yeah, I got you again, mods.
I know, it's so stupid. Oh, God. Okay, so one of the big draws of your stream, besides it just being generally entertaining all the time, is the fact that you do 24-hour streams.
Oh, boy.
Fairly regularly. And I just have to, you know, how? I mean, I don't know if I could stay. I couldn't stay up that late. You know, besides playing games of Magic semi-coherently, I think at least, you know, how do you do it?
All right, well, I'm going to say this, and I've said it many times. Streaming has taken my soul completely. It's like crumpled it into a little ball, thrown into the fireplace, and lit on fire. There's nothing left of my soul. So I am completely voidless. I can just sit down, and I'm just going to play Magic for 24 hours now, and we're going to draft this guy. I have no problems doing that at this point. Very first 24-hour stream, though, again, I'd seen somebody else on Twitch do it, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. I think I could do this. I don't know how well it's going to be received by the viewers, the audience, but you know what? What's the worst that could happen besides getting some leg cramps and dying, you know?
Did it say death? Yeah.
Yeah, death. Just death. But 24-hour streams are... how do I put this? Excellently terrible.
Yeah,
is that a good way to put it?
Like they are the best worst thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from a viewer standpoint and a streaming standpoint, you don't get much better than that. But from a toll on my body, on my mental state, I'll just be sleeping for the next 2 days or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever at a point just hit a wall or actually accidentally fall asleep or anything like that?
That's only happened once. I was not proud of it, but I had already been awake for, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours before I started the 24-hour stream.
Oh God.
Because usually I'll wake up and snap start it, so that way at least I won't be tired already, but...
Yeah,
that
so you were really tempting fate this time.
Yeah, that one time I was like, okay, guys, we're going to do this. I've already been up for 6 or 7 hours. And then I crashed at like hour 14 or something, 16. I don't even know. It was bad.
I mean, are you just down in Red Bulls and having food brought to you by servants?
A lot of my friends do come over and bring me food at some points, but that's usually until maybe like 11 or 12 o'clock, and then I still have another 7 or 8 hours to go after that, you know?
Yeah. I can imagine all of them being like, we should take him something to eat so he doesn't die. And then the other friends being like, but then you're just encouraging him.
That's exactly how it is. I think the best thing actually, though, is just drinking water and eating like, I wouldn't say necessarily sugary food, but you know, like fruits and stuff.
Yeah.
After doing a like 7 24-hour streams. That's the best thing.
Oh my god. You've spent 7 full days playing Magic.
They usually run into like 25 hours because I can't just cut off at 24. You know, usually I'm in the middle of a draft or something. I'm like
whatever event you're in, you're just like, I'm out.
Peace.
Screw you guys.
Drop the mic.
In the middle of a round. Exactly. In the middle of a round that you're winning.
I remember watching the end of one of these, and this is my memory. You were playing, I don't know what it was, but you had like something like 30 minutes left, and you're like, oh God, there's no more magic. There's no more magic to play or whatever. It was so good.
Yeah, that's the worst. If there's like an hour or 30 minutes left, I'm just going to have to join 2-man queues or something. I can't join a draft and unless I drop out round one, you know?
Yeah.
It's just bad.
So this is playing Magic and streaming is kind of what you do with your life now, yeah?
Yeah, that's been my full-time job since... over a year and a half. I think I started doing it in August. It must have been of 2013. Yeah, so almost a year and a half now.
Awesome. And do you like it, or like has it changed kind of your experience of playing Magic at all? Are you ever, instead of like, yeah, I get to play Magic, you're like, oh man, I have to go do my job?
Oh, I don't think I'll ever stop loving to play Magic, you know. Streaming itself, yes, that does feel like an actual job, like a grind, a lot of the times. But I just love playing Magic. The funny thing is, even when I go offline, I'll be like, okay, well, time to go, you know, work out and get some food just so I don't feel so bad. And then I'll come back and I'll do a draft or two offline, you know, when nobody's watching. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm a total addict.
I remember once you said, I don't remember where I heard this, but you said, I think it was after you were done with your year, that it was harder to not stream than it was to stream because you were so used to it.
Yeah, no, for that year, it absolutely was. It's just so ingrained, so part of my life. It's like every time I turn on the computer, basically, I would just be booting up the stream.
And is it kind of like having, you know, friends there sort of at your beck and call whenever you need them?
I don't know if I'd call it friends necessarily. Some of them are friends for sure. A lot of the time it's just random mishmash and trollage and junk and
trollage.
Yeah. If that's a word. I'm making a word now. Copyright trollage.
It's absolutely a word.
Okay.
You can look it up in the dictionary. There are several example sentences.
Yeah, like there. I just had so much trollage tonight.
Oh man, I'm just a little old goat, and I tried to go over a bridge, but there was way too much trollage.
I feel you, bro. I was gonna ask you about trolls, actually. Like, how do you deal with them? I mean, I stream occasionally, and if they come in, like, it can be upsetting to me. But maybe I just need to have a thicker skin about it.
Yeah, like I said, I have no soul anymore. Nothing. Nothing gets to me, usually. Generally, I will engage the troll and ask, like, a lot of the time, a troll will be like, oh, man, why do you even play this? You're so bad. And I'll be like, dude, what's wrong? If you want to talk about something that happened a long time ago to you to make you feel this way, I'll do so. I'm here for you, man, if you want to talk it out. And then generally they won't say anything back, and I'll be like, "All right, well, see you later." Or you know, they'll they'll keep engaging me, and I'll be like, "Yeah, yeah, it's real good," and I'll out troll the troll.
Nice. I fully endorse that strategy. Fully endorse, which I practice, but only when people type it to me when I'm playing, like in chat in the game. For some reason, I have a harder time dealing with it when I'm streaming. But if somebody is a jerk to me on the game, I've talked about on the show before, like then I'm all about it.
No, there's certainly pressures when you're playing in front of other people. Like you feel like you need to explain everything. You feel like you need to not make any mistakes. But you know, it's Magic. Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah. Is there anything particular that you do? Like I think about sometimes when people. I don't stream that often because I am mostly terrified of people. But when I do, it's like sometimes there are people who are like, "Oh, you should have taken this card. You should have taken this card," and it's just like. I want to be polite and be like, oh, your opinion is valid. But my inclination is just to be like, no.
No, I mean, that's what I do a lot of, like, sure. At the start, you know, I was more inclined to be polite, to be, oh, maybe you're right. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I did the wrong thing. But after doing it so long, I just come to realize, no, I like this card more. I don't like your, whatever, what card you wanted me to take. I can see your point, but I did my thing and I'm just going to keep going on with it.
I mean, honestly, you probably play the format, the limited format, more than maybe everybody in the entire universe.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Like, if there are any people, there are very few people that play more any of the given current draft format than I do.
Do you feel particularly, like, really confident when you go into a draft that you're making the correct decisions because you play so much?
Oh, absolutely not. I like to have fun all the time. And I mean, everybody has their own preferences towards colors or cards. Certainly for this format, I'm quick to take any black or white card and try to force the warrior deck.
You still like warriors?
Oh, yeah. All day. All day.
I was going to ask what your favorite deck you ever drafted of all time was.
Oh, God. Of all time?
All time. That's a long time. I suppose streaming.
Okay, or well.
That you remember. We'll give you a pass on the ones that you can't remember.
Fair enough. since we're in the time machine.
The bacon time machine.
Oh, well, okay. I need to click the. All right. I just got more bacon. So now I'm satisfied.
It like clanged out. Anyway.
I had to make a sound effect.
It's crispy bacon. It's like, yeah, exactly. Extra crispy bacon.
Good. I like my bacon a little bit burnt, so that's okay.
Me too, Kenji. We're having
extra crispy. Excellent. All right. I got my bacon. The best draft deck that I can remember in recent memory is probably like 5-color double Chromanticore. That deck was sick.
Did you do it?
Did I Chromanticore onto a Chromanticore?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, I don't think I did, but I definitely played out the Chromanticores or bestowed the Chromanticores. So.
Oh, nice. So there was Chromanticore action.
But yeah, there was Chromanticage. Chromanticorage. I'm trying to go with trollage, and I'm just trying to make new words. I don't know where this is going.
Chromanticorage. I like that. Yeah. Sounds like some kind of breakfast item.
More like once you win, it's Chromanticarnage.
Hey, snap. There you go. Oh, snap. The puns are real.
Yeah, move over, LSV. Get out of here. Bacon's in town.
I just wish the bacon was as real as all those puns.
So, do you have any moments on your stream that are like the most memorable for you? Obviously, that double Chromanticore deck sounds sick. But anything that sticks out in your mind as being particularly awesome?
Well, if we're talking about awesome, there was yesterday's stream. I'm very, very sad about this stream.
Oh, Kenji, I feel for you. I was watching.
So I decided that I was going to stream the PTQ with a 10-minute delay. And my deck was pretty sweet. I went 7-1 during the Swiss portion of the sealed, which locked me for top 8. This was a PTQ. And so I was like, yeah, top 8 of the PTQ, you know? And then I drafted a kind of a sweet red-blue deck, and tons of people were watching. Chat was overflowing. I broke my viewer record by almost double. Like, I almost had 5,000 people at one point.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was insane. And then we got it all the way to the finals, game 3. I win this game. I get to go to Brussels. You know, I get all that cash prize money. I get all these cards. Oh. And I lose.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't super upset. You can even watch the stream. I was like, well, yeah, that happened.
No, you took it so well. I would have probably just been like crying.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't. I think I was more happy that I made the top 8 than getting all the way to the finals. Even, I don't know why. And then I just, it's just sad. That's all. I'm just sad.
Aww. I mean, did you get anything cool for getting second?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I got 108 packs.
Holy shit.
And then, I also got a full foil set of Fate Reforged, which I can eventually redeem when they do that.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's like all of the you know, foil Ugin and all of the fetch lands and all the sweet rares from Fate Reforged.
I feel, yeah. Hold on, Megan. I feel the need to tell him that it's pronounced Eugene, not Ugin.
Just FYI.
All right. Eugene. Yeah. Some people were saying that in the stream early, and I was like, who's Eugene? And they're like, oh, you know, it's Ugin.
Eugene the Spirit Dragon.
Gotcha. Okay. I approve of
the almighty and powerful Eugene.
Any other memorable moments on stream? Let's see. There was another time where I think it was not M15. It must have been like M13 or M14 with like Planar Collapse. It had the Bloodthirst creatures. Which format was that?
That was before Megan and I started playing.
Oh, okay. Well, it was online. Basically what happened was I was playing in some random event, I don't remember what, and everything was going wrong. You know, I was flooding out, my opponent was just doing everything right, and I was like, okay guys, this needs to happen. I need to draw this card, and then this needs to happen, and then this needs to happen. And so off the top, you know, I draw the Planar Cleansing or whatever. It's a White Wrath in the format. And I was like, okay, this is the start of it, you know? And then the next turn, I draw perfectly again. And the opponent makes the one mistake he has to make. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we can do this still. And then again, I rip. And the opponent again makes the one mistake he needs to make. And I end up winning the game. I've highlighted it on Twitch. It was basically, I just had to go runner. He has to make a mistake. Runner. It was insane.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
That sounds epic.
Amazing. I love that feeling of when you're like, okay, I have exactly one card in my remaining 20 something cards, and then you peel it off the top and you're just like, oh man, I'm so good at Magic.
The feels.
For me, it's like when I don't concede, when my opponent has the win, and then they don't do what they were supposed to do, and then I win.
Yeah. You claw your way back. Yeah, that's also very, very nice.
That's my personal triumphs whenever that happens.
Absolutely. So what would you say if you were to give some advice to people who want to get started streaming, what's like what's your top pieces of advice for would-be streamers out there?
Top advice for would-be streamers. Consistent. Okay, well, let's get some like bare basics. You generally need to have like an overlay just to make, you know, the image look good. You need to have at least a decent computer setup so the cards are legible. You know, it doesn't just look all blurry or whatever. And then after that, the main things that you can do are be consistent. If you know, if you have a set schedule or anything like that, people will know when to tune in, rather than just have a random schedule when, you know, nobody knows when you're going to be on. You have to take a persona, right? You have to be like entertaining or like a curmudgeon or just something super angry.
that's what I'm going
to
be.
Yeah, you have to fill a role, right? I mean, you can. There are plenty of roles to fill, but you have to find that role and embrace it.
What would you say your role is in the world of Magic streaming?
The lovable oaf, the goof. I don't know.
Okay, all right, I'll buy that.
Again, I put entertainment above all, and then if they learn something, great, perfect. I consider myself decent at limited, but I strive for the fun play or the fun pick more than the quote unquote correct pick a lot of the time.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Yeah. And so after consistency and, you know, filling your role, there's, what else is there? Honestly, those are like the top two. And then there's like things that you can do, just small things to make it better, but you don't need to have, you know, like, I don't even know right now. I can't even think of it.
Well, you do a lot of fun things that are really unique to your stream too. Like you got, what is it called? You're a partner. That's not the right word with Twitch. So you get your subscribers get a unique emojis.
Oh yeah.
You have fun with Kermit the Frog when you get new subscribers.
I don't know how many times I've done that Kermit dance now. It's.
Somebody please go and count or make a montage of every time it's ever happened.
Thousands, I guarantee. Thousands.
That's going to be like a 15-minute montage.
I would watch that whole thing.
Exclusively of Kermit dance.
The worst Kermit dancers are at the end of the 24-hour streams where I kind of just raise my arms half-acidly and then I'm just like,
Hello, those ones need to all be together at the very end of the montage. Listen, someone out there with a lot of time and video editing skills on their hands, it's up to you.
I don't know if you can do that anymore. Twitch started deleting the old videos.
Oh no. And they'll also mute if you play music, which is
exactly
sad.
Exactly.
So sad. Yeah. Have you ever had a moment on stream that you were just super embarrassed?
All the time. Every single day there's something I do. Like, even if it's just making a terrible mistake, you know, tapping the wrong land and not leaving up a combat trick or whatever, there's always something where I'm just like, put my hand on my forehead, just shake.
You know, sometimes, like, Kenji, I'm going to take a moment and just give you a heart-to-heart here. Sometimes you say, I'm so stupid or I'm so bad at magic, like when you make those plays, and I just want to always tell you, no, you're not. You're doing a stream and it's stressful and there's people watching and you're playing faster, double queuing. No, Kenji, you're fine.
We told you that this was going to be an interview for a podcast, but really what it is it's an intervention. about the kind of language you use with yourself.
That's right. Positive thinking, Kenji.
How are you supposed to practice forgiveness towards others? You can't forgive yourself first.
Fair enough. I'm not stupid. I'm just misinterpreted.
That's right.
There you go. All right. It's not a mistake. It's just an opportunity for growth in the future.
Exactly.
Just say that every time you mistap. People will be like, screw this guy.
I'm going to write that down. Opportunity for growth in the future. Suck on that one, viewers.
I've seen you at a few events in real life, playing real life magics.
I do play real life magic sometimes. It's weird.
Is it weird? That was going to be my question.
No, I was just kidding. Let's see. Because I'd been playing so much F&Ms and stuff all the way from like ages 12 to probably like 18 or 20, you know, I was used to the social scene. I hadn't gone to many GPs, actually. The first GP I went to was Montreal in like 2011 or 2012, and I'd already been streaming a little bit then.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a little bit weird getting people, you know, coming up to me and recognizing me and having me like sign their playmats and stuff. I don't know if you can ever fully get used to that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it happens to us much less than you, I'm sure. But you did pretty well at a recent GP, I remember.
It must have been the latest Montreal, which was like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Yeah. I was.
I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay. This must be the one. I was 12-2. I was playing winning in for top 8 of the GP.
Oh, yep. That was it.
Was that it? Yeah. And then I lost, and I was very sad.
Well, stop it.
It's not a loss. It's an opportunity.
Oh, God. Oh, shoot. That was my chance. That was my first. Oh, it was a test. You guys were
setting you up. We were setting you up. I mean, have you ever tried to press F6 in real life? That's really what I want to know.
No.
Okay.
I can't say I have.
So you've built yourself a life doing this, which is really awesome. And I think, you know, very admirable, doing something that you love and kind of being an entrepreneur in a way, in a new way, in a 2015 way.
2015.
Yeah. What's the future hold for Numat the Nummy?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I couldn't even answer to my parents when they asked me that.
Trick. We are your parents.
It's an opportunity to grow, Mom. Leave me alone. No, you know, I still think magic is going to be part of my life no matter what I do, even if streaming becomes a lot less frequent. I got my degrees in anthropology and sociology when I graduated college. So with those, you either go out into the, you know, like field work, or you obtain your master's or doctorate in the world of academia. And I'm not interested in doing any of those things.
Well, just think of in the future when Magic Online, you know, after the Great War, when robots take over the Earth, it's going to be buried deep beneath, you know, levels of rubble. You're going to have to do some sick anthropology on getting it back up.
Maria, it's, you're talking about archaeology, paleontology. All right. Just want to pause for a second.
Sure.
Anthropology would be the study of the robot's culture once they have established one in the wake of the Great War. Which will also be a super interesting thing at that point.
It will be.
Will we still be alive is the question.
Only a select few of us.
Wait, we have a time machine. Why don't we just make some bacon and go in the future?
Is that too scary?
Can we only go back in time?
No, we can go either way.
Okay, I don't know if I want to, actually. I lied.
Do you want to see the future? This horrible, desolate, dead Earth that we're returning to.
Oh, God. If it's desolate, does the future have bacon?
Well, our time machine definitely does.
Okay, all right. The time machine perpetually has bacon, so we're fine. As long as that's real, good.
Well, before we all take off into the future, do you have any final like Fate Reforged drafting tips?
Ooh,
for all of our tips. My brain just really just had a moment where
listeners, is that the word you're trying to say? Our listeners.
Yep.
Okay. Any Fate Reforged draft tips
for our listeners?
Draft tips. Let's see. Where do we go here? Basically, well, what I've been doing a lot in Fate Reforged KTK, I assume that's what you're referring to, right? Okay.
No, triple Fate Reforged.
God! Ah!
Never.
Generally, I stay into two colors when I can for Fate Reforged because usually that's what Fate Reforged puts you into anyways. Usually you want to go into opposing colors like red, blue, or black, white going into packs 2 and 3 because that way you have the option of going into two of the clans, right? So if you're red, blue, you can go into Jeskai or Temur. Or if you're black, white, you can go into Abzan or Mardu. If you're in an allied color pair, that you have a harder time because you're forced into either one clan or no clans at all, right?
Right.
So it's a lot harder when you're doing the pack number 2 and 3. And generally, I would just stay like open in the first pack, pick up lands when you can. No need to commit into something unless you open like a super heavy bomb, like Citadel Siege or whatever, the white siege.
Ugh, later on the show, we're going to be talking about exactly how much we hate sieges.
Except I have yet to get the white siege. I've played so many of these events and I can't get a white siege. I get the palace siege every time.
Oh, I've gotten monastery siege twice.
Oh, that's the blue one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That is how I feel.
That's so crazy. You haven't had the white one yet. Okay, well, here's hoping because it's insane. But if you play against it, you know, horrible.
Knock on wood.
All right. Knock on bacon. Oh, God. That was the worst sound I've ever made.
I don't know if that was bacon as much as somebody dying or choking.
That was like knock on the pig. Knock on the pre-bacon pig.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. On that note, Kenji, thank you so much for talking with us today.
It was very enjoyable. Thank you.
If people want to watch you, where the heck can they find you?
They can go over to twitch.tv/NewmotTheNummy. That is twitch.tv/NUMOTTHENUM. Oh, crap. NUMMY. I can't even spell my own.
Got there.
Newmont the Newmont.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, can we get you saying good luck, high five?
Good luck, high five.
Yeah!
And with that, listeners, we're going to send Kenji into the future so he can anthropologize those robots.
With bacon!
Goodbye, Kenji. Good luck.
I'm going.
That is the worst time machine noise. It sounds like a blender.
Says the person who knocked on bacon earlier.
Did he just say everybody is John Finkel?
What?
In the future, everybody's John
no!
Finkel.
No!
They totally were. I came back. It was weird.
Oh my god. Thank you so much, Kenji.
Thank you for having me. That was very fun.
Fate Reforged update. All right, Megan, you've been in Canada recently.
I have. I was in Vancouver. I missed the Grand Prix by a week.
Dang it.
I went there for the Grand Prix, and then I was like, they were like, you're a week early. That's not true, you guys.
That would be the worst thing that ever happened. The worst. Like, you took off all that time from work. You got the hotel. You show up at the convention center, and they're like
no.
We have a handbag convention.
Handbag convention. I was there for Maria and I do improv comedy, so I was there for a theater sports tournament. I was very sad to miss it by a week.
Oh, well. But you were almost there, Megan.
I was almost there. That counts. I was almost there.
I was playing a lot of Magic while you were away.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Magic Online, having a lot of fun with Fate Reforged. Mm. And I found with me at the beginning of formats, when they're very new, like that's my sweet spot.
Yeah, okay.
Playing them.
Okay.
I feel like I'm ahead of the curve, but only for a week. And then everybody figures it out.
Okay, interestingly, that's exactly how I feel I am at most sports. It's like, especially in middle school, it's like when everybody was just learning the sport, I was good, right?
Right.
I was like starting on the soccer team. And then it was like by the end of the season, I was on the bench for sure. Because I just never got any better at it.
I think I'm a quick learner, but then I just really plateau. I think that's my problem.
That's fair.
But so I was in my sweet spot though for about a week. And I like either won or got second place in an 8-4 drafts on Magic Online. I think it was maybe 10 in a row.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Like, I felt invincible.
That's amazing.
Like, I can't lose. Oh my god, I can't lose. Which was a funny feeling going in because it made me super confident with my picks.
Maria.
What?
I wonder if that had any effect on your drafting.
That's what I'm like seriously wondering.
Like, what if that was like really the mental boost is what was doing the most for you?
I mean maybe. Holy crap. I don't know. Like, looking back at it, I made smart decisions too, and I was like confident in my decisions. I'm like, well, if I take this, then I'm gonna have to pass up the sweet card, but that's okay because it's fitting with my strategy or whatever. I don't know. I think I'm kind of now going back on my downward slope, as I've said, because other people are starting to figure it out. But I had that week of glory. The other day I drafted, I was talking to Megan about this before the show, the second sweetest deck I've ever made. I've drafted two decks in my life that I felt could not lose. Like, they literally could not lose. And one was a Simic deck that had, like, three Cloudfin Raptors and, you know, just everything that you could ever want in a Simic deck. I, like, don't remember anymore, but I remember those Raptors. This was a blue-red tempo deck, which I think is extremely strong in Fate Reforged. And not all that hard to put together. Like, you don't need super good cards. You just need the synergy.
Yeah.
It was extra sweet because I had two Goblin Heel Cutters.
Aww.
And that card
is so good.
I splashed it in my sealed pool this past weekend.
What? Okay, I don't know that it's a splashable card.
I think if you're running the strategy that wants that, I might splash it. If you're, you know, obviously if you're controlling or whatever, don't do it. But I once had two Goblin Heel Cutters dashed out at the same time.
Oh my god. just living the dream.
Yeah. And what else this deck wants is like Jeskai Runemarks, Gore Swine, and the 4/2 Hexproof Whirlwind Adept.
What?
So then you put the Runemarks on it.
Oh,
and you have
boy.
a 6/4 Hexproof creature that probably has flying.
Jeez.
So basically, jeez, you never really need to get to 5 mana, though. I mean, honestly, if you've built it consistently enough, like, you've got them to like 8 by turn 5 or something. You know, turn 4, because you play your Gorswine, then you dash out your Heel Cutter. I mean, that's 7. So GG. Anyway, those are my tips for building that deck. You know, you want a Tormenting Voice to help you draw some cards when you play at all your cheap dudes. Maybe a little card draw. But yeah, those are the key cards, I would say. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I would give people advice, except I am qualified to give no one any advice right now.
Megan!
So I have been sucking at Fate Reforged.
We go opposite, though, sucking. I find.
That is true. Like, I feel like the last time I had a really great run was, like, Journey into Nyx.
Yeah, you did for a while there.
There was a point at which I didn't have a 10, I didn't have, like, a 10 event streak of, like, ending up in the finals, but I had a 4 event streak of not losing a game.
Oh my god.
Like, I didn't even drop a game across 4 events at the end of Journey into Nyx. At which point I was like, I've got this fucking format figured out.
Yeah, dude, you're like, I can't lose. Exactly. I can't lose.
exactly, but yeah, God, Fate Reforged has just right now really been kicking my ass. Which, I did a couple of drafts the first week with friends when it came out. And, like, I didn't feel that way then. I did okay. I was going, like, I wasn't going great, but I was, you know, like, ending up in the finals and going 2-1.
Megan, tell me what your number one problem is.
I don't know.
I know what it is.
Oh, wait, you do know. That's right. I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming a mile away because... Yeah. We all know my number one enemy from cons
was Siege Rhino.
Siege Rhino. I hate that card. I hate that card the way...
There's some new cards with the name Siege in them.
And I hate them just as much.
And you hate all of them.
I hate the Siege as Maria, and I should have known that it was going to happen.
Why do you hate them?
I have lost to Sieges more than I think any other card in Fate Reforged so far.
No, I think that's fair to say.
I think there have just been multiple rounds that I can recall where things have been going fine. Or like even in my favor, and my opponent, I have been murdered by the black siege. I've been murdered by the white siege. And just today, I got murdered by the red siege.
Megan, at least you can say pretty soon you'll be murdered by every color siege.
That's right, except blue, because that's a siege I open, and it just isn't as fucking good. It's been miserable. Yeah,
I mean,
and I've also opened Frontier Siege. Basically the two that are like the most mediocre.
Yeah, I feel for you, and I bet our listeners do too, because those cards are stinking good.
Ugh.
And if you don't have an answer, I mean, and you're not already pretty far ahead, you're just gonna lose.
Today, the red one, it's a 4-drop.
Yeah, I know.
My opponent played it on turn 4 all three games.
I know, Megan.
All 3 games, Maria.
You beat it one game.
How? I beat it one game.
Yeah, that's all that we can expect of you. If somebody played Chandra on you every single game on turn 4.
And I couldn't kill it. Yeah. It was just the Chandra that kept on giving.
That was her nickname in college. Oh, God. Anyway, well.
It's just been miserable. I don't know what to do. That and Colgan.
I thought you were going to
say Colgate.
Colgate.
God, I've been losing to a lot of toothpaste recently. It even rubs it in over the Magic Online chat.
Yeah.
Hey, I keep people's teeth white. What do you do?
Yeah, Colgate is pretty high and mighty.
Colgan. I've also gotten slammed by that card a couple of times.
That's the dash dragon. How you say it.
I don't know. I'm just...
Colgan? It sounds like, hey, Colgan man. Hey, Colgan dragon!
And then he comes and he gives everybody +1/+0. Yay!
Oh,
fuck me.
I played in a pre-TQ this past weekend. Mm-hmm. That friend of the show, Matthias Hunt, won.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sealed. Obvi. I got 11th, so I just missed top 8. Not just... But
that was pretty darn close.
It was pretty close.
Pretty darn close.
It was a lot of fun. I just want to take this moment to get up on my soapbox and say, hey, local game stores, run some more sealed events. Please, there is a demand. And that demand comes from me personally. And all the other sealed players out there who want more sealed events. At least in Minnesota, we have not had a lot.
Yeah.
We had two sealed. Out of what, like 16 or something like that?
We had two out of 20 million.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. So if you're an LGS owner and you're in Minnesota and you're listening to this, that's really specific, I know. Run a sealed PTQ. I'll buy you like a barbecue dinner.
And they've been some of, at least the one in Minneapolis was the sealed one that was in here in Minneapolis was the high, like had the most people show up.
Yep.
It was the largest event. They had to turn people away. They had to turn a lot of people away. So, anyway. Also, if you're not sure about why that would work out for you or why it's good for the Magic community to run limited events, I have an article over on the Meadery. It's a couple of months old now, but it is also on this topic.
Yep.
Because it is coming time for the next set of pre-PTQs.
That's true.
So, there you go. It's called The Slow Death of the Limited Player, because I'm not melodramatic at all. Hey everybody, look over there.
What is it?
It's just a standard corner.
It's standard corner time.
That's right. This past weekend there was a Grand Prix in Seville.
Oh my god, was Pizza Mix also there?
Yep. Oh man, if you do not follow us on Twitter at MTAcast, one, you totally should, but two, you should, and then go look. Last week, someone drew us a picture of Pizza McSalsa, the player.
Yeah,
the
Planeswalker. The Planeswalker.
The Planeswalker Pizza McSalsa.
He's also a player because he's, you know, badass, but yeah. If you don't listen to our show every week, we invented a Planeswalker called Pizza McSalsa last week. He is pretty awesome, and also his ultimate is useless.
You should go check it out, though. Yeah. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
He's pretty great. What were we talking about?
Standard corner.
Oh, standard corner.
GP Seville.
Grand Prix Seville. Oh, I was talking about, I heard that everyone there got a real great haircut, because there's a really great barber.
Oh, God.
In Seville. Oh, sorry I did that.
He cut the hair of everybody in the convention center?
At the convention center.
Did they, like, want him to, or did he just come at them with scissors?
No, he just came at them with scissors.
It's terrifying.
He just really, chased him down.
Like
let's see. So let's look at, I noticed while I was looking through the top 8 deck lists, I was like, holy cow, there's a lot of, it's not like, you know, 4 Abzan decks. Fuck Seed Rhino. And then like, you know, like 4 other rando things. It's like 8, you know, fairly interesting decks. So one of the first ones is a green-red deck.
Monsters?
Yes, a green-red monsters, you could say. And it features a lot of, you know, like our green-red favorites, some Xenagos, some Stormbreath Dragons. It did go pretty big with some Genesis Hydras and some Hornet Queens.
Nice.
It has your usual ramp with Voyaging Satyrs and Sylvan Caryatids and Elvish Mystics.
What's the new shiz?
It has Whisperwood Elemental in it, which is a new Fate Reforged card.
Good, because I just opened that today.
Oh my god. Really? It's worth like 10 tickets right now.
It is?
You should go sell it right now.
That's awesome, because I passed a foil Temporal Trespass.
Oh, that's not worth jack.
And I was like, it's worth like 6 or 8 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But then I was like kind of sad that I did that. But I actually made the right decision financially.
Yeah, man. Whispered Elemental is like 10 tickets right now, if not like 12 or 16 or something.
That's awesome.
I just noticed it today because I was selling some things. So this guy is 3 green-green. He's a mythic. He's a 4/4. At the beginning of your end step, manifest the top card of your library. So holy crap.
So free cards for days.
For days. And then it has Sacrifice Whisperwood Elemental. Until end of turn, face up non-token creatures you control gain. When this creature dies, manifest the top card of your library. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. It board wipe, you're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you wanna
go ahead.
Man, you wanna Crux of Fate me? I will get that, you know, taken care of. that sounded that came out weird.
Good. All right, green red monsters, what else we got?
That's right. Moving on. We also had Jeskai featuring some other new friends, including Soulfire Grandmaster.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who is the lifelink who gives all of your instants and sorceries lifelink as well.
Oh, boy.
Which is pretty crazy. So if you burn someone for 4, you gain 4.
Awesome.
And very interestingly, did not feature Monastery Mentor.
Okay.
You know, which is something people were like, is that going to be a thing?
Jeskai tokens getting better.
Yeah. But this one wasn't playing Jeskai Ascendancy.
Interesting.
It did have an Outpost Siege.
Chandra. Okay.
It did have a Chandra, exactly. Or a Chandra. Chandra?
Chandra.
How are we saying it right now?
Chandra, I think.
This one also has Valorous Stance.
Okay. Seems good.
Yeah. And some Wild Slash, which is the one red shock.
Wild Slash sounds like some guy in a biker gang.
Hey, this is my friend Wild Slash.
Watch.
Check out his hog.
Keep your tires locked up at night.
Wild Slash. Let's see. There is a green devotion list. Again, you know, this one featured some Eugenes.
Oh, Eugene.
Some Eugene the Spirit Dragons.
He's here.
Exactly. Instead of having red in it as well, it was just straight up. This one had 4 Whisperwood Elementals. Plus all the usual ramp and hornet queens, etc., etc. This one had a frontier siege, which, you know, whatever. Yeah. Let's see the deck that won it all.
Okay, it all. Drum roll.
Ooh,
that was not a drum roll.
I couldn't make one. I'm holding a microphone in one hand and my phone that I'm looking the information up in the other. Woo,
woo,
woo. Blue black control.
Oh,
what about that, man?
I was not expecting that.
Right? I bet you weren't. This one also featuring 2 Eugenes.
Eugene.
He's just coming out to party.
Yeah, he is.
He got, you know, Soren went back in time and was like, don't get murdered, bro. And now he's just partying it up in Seville.
Wouldn't you if you came back from the dead?
I would party it up all the time.
Yeah.
This one also had 2 Crux of Fate, which is a new card from the set. And other than that, a lot of our old control friends, Ashiok, Pearl Lake, Ancient, dig through times, draw some cards, kill some things.
Yeah.
As
all
you
right.
do.
Straightforward.
Second place, Abzan Aggro.
Okay.
So Abzan, fucking Siege Rhinos.
Siege Rhinos, we know, for blah, blah, you hate it, you wish it was dead. Hate it.
And this list so far does not have anything from Fate Reforged.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
It's going old school.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, that's interesting. I'm glad there's such a diversity of decks in the top 8 of Seville.
Wait, Maria.
What?
I missed the last one.
Oh, okay.
Blue 8 Heroic.
Yay!
Also in the top 8. Your personal favorite.
That's my boys.
There you go. And this one has, let's see. Well, you know what? This one also does not have any Valorous Stance. It's just
really?
Rocking it old school.
Really?
Just rocking it old school.
Well, I guess I can show up with that
old
deck and still
school.
Play it and maybe win
old
a game or 2.
Old school.
Okay,
this
we got it.
This is an old school song. That was the worst.
Horrible.
Yeah. That was
horrible.
Really bad. I'm sorry.
You're not.
I'm
no,
so
I'm not
sorry.
Forgiving you.
And there's an Abzan midrange, which I'm not even gonna talk about. And Sidisi Whip, which is, you know, our green, blue, black friends that we've been seeing with all of the self mill and Whip of Erebos.
So guys, if you've been playing some standard recently and have been implementing new Fate Reforged cards, let us know by hitting us up on the Twitters at MTAcast. I would like to know what you guys are doing out there.
That's right. You can also shoot us an email at magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys.
Literally shoot it at us out of a gun.
Maria?
What?
They can shoot it at you out of a gun.
I
would just like my emails the old-fashioned way. Call me old-fashioned, but I want old-fashioned emails.
Thanks for listening to our show this week, everybody. I'm real happy you did.
Yeah.
Thanks again
to Kenji for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and we hope that all of you guys had a great time hearing about all of his fun fun streaming adventures.
Yeah, Kenji was awesome.
He was pretty great.
You guys, I wanted to say a thank you out there to everybody who has become a patron of us on Patreon.
Oh, yeah, man.
Patreon.com/MTAcast is the address to go to if you want to join this awesome party. We recently hit a goal of $100 an episode, so we really want to thank everybody who's donated, especially our high-level donors, which we have a few, and also especially every donor. If you want to get in and just donate even a dollar an episode, we would love to have you. And you'll be part of the Patreon family. We have some sweet rewards up there for you. And if we get to another level reward, we'll do some new stuff. But at the $100, which we just hit, is a draft video every single week.
Yeah, man. It's pretty sweet.
So we're going to have to do that. Draft, we might play some Sealed sometime. Maybe do some standard videos as well. Holy you can watch me crap. Lose at Blue White Heroic or something. yeah, so watch out for those. The first one will be posted very soon, and we'll be posting one every single week on our website, magicTheAmateuring.com, as well as our YouTube channel, which I believe is just /MTAcast. But for sure, go to magicTheAmateuring.com. It'll be there.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for listening. And until next week, don't frown, just always party on down.
That sounds like something Eugene would say.
He's a pretty chill spirit dragon.